takes a while to digest what we just saw. It hasn't, for me, it's not the first time. For some of you, it may be the first time. For others, it may be no matter how many times, it's always seems like it's the first time to really bear witness to the suffering of the Native nations within our state, within this country. That's why I think that it's very important to have a spiritual practice in working with the genocide of the Native nations within our state. And I want to say, too, that in my discussions with Native elders, they do not want non-Natives' pity. They do not want our guilt. They want us to really understand and comprehend and integrate what has happened here. And I really invite us to just take time to digest this information, to digest our shared history here, and to have compassion for ourselves and for each other. Our presence and our open heart is part of the healing that can happen. And I'm very aware that it's almost 8:50. What I'm thinking is maybe we could take maybe 10 minutes. And if you have questions or comments, to please step forward and use the mic. And also know that this is a process that we're all going through. And we will have another opportunity next week as well to be together. So is there anyone who would like to step forward with a question or a comment? You just want to step up? Yeah, you do.
Well, first of all, thanks to our guest for a very, very powerful film. It was very, very moving. It was so moving that made my heart palpitate. You know, I'm kind of intense. And maybe I take it partly personally because I'm part Native American. And also I'm part European, you know, so it's it's hard for me. It's not like Gentle Dragon said that it's not self-pity from one pity from one part of the population to another. You know, I see it as I have both. And as Native American, part of my Native American is, I felt really angry to see this, very angry. And it's just hard to reconcile what happened to the Natives everywhere, you know, everywhere, here in the United States, in Mexico, in South America. It's really hard. Years ago, I went to Spain, you know, to reconcile the genocide of in my country, Mexico. But I thought I did some healing, but and I see this, and I get angry again. This is like it never ends. Well, thank you. I just want to say thank you.
Is there anybody else? Please feel free.
Thank you, Sheldon, for coming and sharing this. And I appreciate what you said as well. That was so many emotions and thoughts and, you know, can't possibly really say specifically, but the one thought I did want to sort of raise is maybe a question which I struggle with as I try and grapple with this. You know, as a Buddhist, which has been what sort of led me here, I guess, among other things, is this idea of karma and, you know, karmic retribution and, you know, how that really works. I mean, I look at the world today and, you know, and I watch this and I keep wanting to see, you know, some justice and, you know, it just seems like it's, you know, there's never a reckoning and, you know, I try and understand that and not be consumed by the seeming lack of justice. And I just wondered how maybe the Native people, I know it's not a Buddhist thing, but I wonder if you could say anything about you know, how they might think about that.
All of us, in particular our children, in order for us, our First Nations people, to heal, we first have to understand historical truth. Because if we continue to live a lie through history, then we're going to be confused. I have mine, you have yours, I have my religion, you have yours. You know, the whole, it's all out of balance because historical truth has not been taught to her, to you. You don't need to feel guilty because it was society that stopped in our educational system to teach in history historical truth, because they didn't want this to be known for 500 years. So how do we, as First Nations and people, how do we get through this anger, as our sister said, different feelings, emotions like we feel tonight? Our hearts are here with good hearts. I can feel the energy of good hearts. All of you are good-hearted people. That's beautiful. So how do we, as with people of good hearts and our children, all, how do we get through this as First Nations people? Well, we have to begin to heal by understanding historical truth first. And then we're fortunate enough today because of our understanding of how to get to that center and of goodness and dignity and who you are in front of the Creator and that beautiful spirit of life. We're here now. So we can, by understanding historical truth, having the strength to feel that sadness as we feel now after we've seen this, once you feel that and absorb that, then use that in a good way. And when you do that with your own goodness and understanding from your heart, then that begins the process of healing for yourself and for others. That's why we in our ceremonies, we are doing this so that our children understand it's not their fault. They'll understand that historical truth is told them. Now they can know how to deal with that. Now they know that it's not their parents' fault, grandparents' fault, or their First Nations' fault of history. And once they feel that, then they can say, oh, okay, I feel bad and I feel sad, but now at least I know. Now what do? Now we come back to them with positive energy and say, now you're starting to feel, now you can heal. You can know how to adjust and heal by using our ceremonies and respecting life and one another. That is what our spiritual dignity is all about from our original ancestors all the way to this very day. They died in this manner in different ways of 500 years of history, but they understood original teachings of our Creator through our ceremonies. That is the dignity that my grandfather medicine bottle, before he was hung, what he said. When you come from the heart as common human beings and look at each other in a good way as common human beings, then this will be a good place. That's the example of dignity, of the teachings of our people in front of the Creator, all around us, above and below. We understand that. Whatever's in our heart, and we ask the Creator will help us if we come in a good way. So when we walk like that, and you come to the history of this process, and you walk and understand our way of belief system like my grandfather did and our people do, and it comes to this process of the governance, Abraham Lincoln on down, and the process of wanting the property and land so bad we will do anything because we control through the government and Congress and Senate. That is the mentality we had to live with and have been living with us. Because the next film, The Doctrine of Discovery, goes back 500 years. That includes Christianity, where the origin of the papal bulls and that connection. It's about that process of land through the Crusades that the church has used against their own European people. If you're not a Christian and you're not baptized, then you're a heathen. So, Mr. Farmer European, if you want to join our church and be baptized, then we will give you everything. You will be amongst us and believe in a higher power, all the things that the church talked about. When the farmer did that, the church took the land and gave him the Bible and baptized him, but the farmer didn't have his land anymore. Or they would only have a little portion of the original land, the trade. That is all the process of land in the European process in the 11th through 13th centuries, the Crusades. So the churches, in particular the papal bulls, the the Catholic Church started that system, 200 years battle, and once and they learned through the papal bulls in that time how to get the property. And what did they do when Isabella and Ferdinand of Spain was gifted through the papal, through the 1493 papal bull by Pope Nicholas V or VI, allowed them to go to the New World and discover new land. If they weren't Christians there, then you gave you the right as Christians to take the land from the heathen infidels. Because we learned that from the Crusades, now we for to get the land, now we know how to apply it over here. So that is as a rough idea of history from the Crusades that we as Dakota people look at as well. How did this all start? So, but back to historical truth, that's what we're doing. We have to heal now in the 21st century, and thank goodness we have social media and films now. We can use excellent researchers through historians like here and in our other films to document everything that's in the film that's the foundation of the truth in the film. And so the purpose, again, is back to our children. If our children are taught historical truth, then when they can't get in the position of education and leadership to make decisions in the future for the people, and they're taught historical truth, it's only going to give them a whole new way of a cleaner, purer mind and body, or mind of leadership to say, I will not make this decision because I was taught historical truth, and we will never repeat that again. That's what we need for our children in the educational system for the future of our generations to come, historical truth. So we can use, we have to understand historical truth, and our children do, before we can begin the healing process first. So that's what we're trying to do. That's what we have our ceremonies. We have our sacred horse ride that we do every December that we go through. That I, as tribal chairman, Mr. Jim Miller, his cousin called me when I was tribal chairman and said my relative had a dream about the 38th Dakota were hung, and he would like to have a ceremony with the horses. And I said, so he gave me his number. I called him, and he told me the story. And I said, yes. I talked to our council. They all agreed that we would sponsor the ride in 2005. So we began that process. And during that process, then Mr. Miller, I worked with him. I started doing a film on the ride, and then he found somebody that could. I was so busy, I didn't have enough time to do it. So he found a gentleman, a director, and that he worked with, and came out with the Dakota 38 film. So that began. That's the process of our people to heal with, and we use the four-leggeds, the power of that horse that the Creator gave, that energy that we talk about in that film. That's a healing power. And then as we ride and we pray and we're in a good thought and we hear the natural energy and sound around us and in our mind, we ride in a ceremony, as a ceremony. So when we do ceremony, we're in a place together, if it's days like we do in ceremonies, like the ride. And so, but when we're not in ceremony, then we have to remember what our responsibilities are through what we ask the Creator. And so we walk that best we can each day when we're not in a ceremony. So that's the reason we're doing this, is for our children and for healing. And they have to understand what they're healing about, why they're trying to heal and what it's about. So that then they can say, okay, now I understand. Here's the starting point now, that where I finally have something behind me that that somebody else has been telling me that wasn't really true. Then they can say, all right, now we can start to heal. That's the starting point. So that's what we're doing. So, but we have to have, we have to use the good energy, the good spirit to deal with this hurt, all the hurt in this, and utilize that into a positive way to help ourselves first and help others around you, your groups you're with, all those feelings that put that together with love, respect, dignity, and understanding, and be strong that way in a gentle way that's powerful and beautiful. That's what our people have always stood for. So that's what we're here tonight for, the film, what we bring to for healing. That's another way to look at how to heal. That's how we are trying to do heal from this process of genocide. So we have to, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I totally understand war. I understand what it's all about and what our people went through here in war. And it's no good. War is no good. And so, you know, it's the bottom line is we got to heal, but we have to understand what we're healing about, and especially for our children, they need to understand what they're trying to heal about, because we're trying to eliminate the highest suicide rate of Indian people in this country, our children, and alcoholism, all the other things, because they feel guilty because this has never been told on their side. That's a major part of that. In A Doctrine of Discovery, the other film is 500 years of how it happened. And in our relatives from the South, Mexico, Central America, South America, all through there, the Caribbeans. We have in our other film, Dr. Luis Rivera from Puerto Rico. He wrote a book on the Christian and the European process that came through South America and through the Caribbean islands, how it affected Indian people. We went there and interviewed him there. He was excellent. He's a retired professor from Princeton University. He taught theology there. And so next week we'll bring that film and go through that process. And on May 4th of this year, our purpose to do the Doctrine of Discovery is to have the papal bulls rescinded. On May 4th of this year, 10 of our spiritual elders were able to get into the Vatican. They had a 2-hour meeting with the Pope's emissary, a bishop that deals with law in different areas. A 2-hour meeting with them, and they requested to the bishops in that meeting to have the papal bulls rescinded. The Dum Diversus of 1452, which is the very first papal bull that gave Portugal the right to go to a tip of to go to south to Africa and do the process of what they did in 1492. And so like Nelson Mandela said, he said, when they come to our land, they brought with them a book. And when they left our land, when they left, they had our land and we got their Bible book. Nelson Mandela. And Dum Diversus, 1452, and those papal bulls then ultimately got to 1493. So we had a meeting, 2-hour meeting with the Vatican. Mr. Stephen Newcomb, who's the principal in the film, in our next film, met the Pope out in the square when the Pope came out there, talked with him briefly, and gave him his book, and told him he requested him personally to have the papal bulls rescinded, and to read his book, and the Pope said, I will read your book. So now we are waiting for to see if the Catholic Church in Rome, the Vatican, will rescind the papal bulls, because it deals in our next film with how the United States Supreme Court in 1823 used the papal bulls to justify the lands process of how they to discover new lands if they weren't Christians. Then the Indian people there were considered heathen infidels because they're not Christians, they're heathen infidels. Yeah, and so that is the process, and we live under the Supreme Court ruling of Johnson McIntosh ever since 1823, which it's called plenary power. Congress from that time on, through the Supreme Court, if they want to write a bill like we've just seen here, they wrote up their bill here to allow President Lincoln to proclaim, you know, remove any treaty tribe wherever they're at. So the same power Congress has that same power today over all First Nations and people here, and it's called plenary power. And they can write up a resolution saying all Indians, they will be no more in terms of no more land, no more treaty rights, all treaties will be annulled. They will become taxpayers and live in wherever they're at, and that's what they can do. And they tried to do that again in 1978. But all of that was we walked across the country and defeated all them bills. In 1978, there was only one bill that passed, the freedom of religion for Native American people. So we've only had 38 years to practice our belief system and ceremony without being arrested or in jail. So, you know, it just goes on and on and on. But plenary power with Congress now because of the papal bulls, because of the Doctrine of Discovery system. That'll be next week. But we live under that. So we only have a right of occupancy. That's what the Supreme Court said. We don't own the land because of the doctrine of Christian discovery in this process. The United States owns the land, and the Indians are under them. They only have a right of occupancy. So it's a process, you know, of historical truth that we have to understand so you can understand what we're been going through. That hasn't been taught in the history books. But fortunately, we've been, with the Doctrine of Discovery film, many colleges and universities in United States and even in Canada, the professors have gotten the film and the EDU package we have with it, the research. They have been starting this year, this fall, in their semesters to teach, use the film, use the EDU package in research, and they set up their own class for the whole semester, teaching the doctrine of discovery in the process. So it's happening very well, and we've shown the film. Just last week we showed the Blandon Foundation sponsored the film up in northern Minnesota I forget the name of the town now, but up north at a major town at a theater there. And then the following day on Friday, Bemidji State University sponsored the film at their theater, at their college university. And then on Saturday, the Ojibwe people the one that's right north, right, straight up Mille Lacs. The Mille Lacs were a tribe up there sponsored the film at their museum. So, and we've showed it in New York City at universities there, in Philadelphia, colleges there, California. We showed the Doctrine of Discovery film for the Riverside Indian boarding school children in Southern California and other Indian children from 9th to 12th grade in the area there at Pomona College, last fall, late last fall. 100 of them, a little over 100. And at the end of that film, they sat there and clapped for 5 minutes. They wouldn't stop clapping after watching the Doctrine of Discovery film. And that made us so good, feel so good, because that what they were saying was, it's not my fault, it's not my parents' fault, my grandparents or my tribal people or elders, nobody. Now we finally know. Now begins the process of dignity, respect, healing, and for myself as a young person. Wow, that made the years of work that we put into that film perfect. You couldn't ask for anything better for them children. So was there a question? Yeah.
Would there be a way to distribute this film to schools? It was very, very powerful. So I would see this as an asset to teach.
Yeah. On this particular film, I'm still, what I mentioned earlier, it was mentioned briefly in here, but I have to go in front of camera and add the section of the July 5th Congressional Act of 1862. I have to re-edit this, because this is like 3 years old, this film. I still have to come up with the legal money for an attorney to go through this whole film to make sure that everything that we see is covered legally. And that's very expensive. But the Doctrine of Discovery, we were able to raise enough money to get that film all legally covered. Everything that can be shown in that. And so, and then we're working to try to get this, when I get this done, to get it on PBS, and then we're working to try to get the Doctrine of Discovery film on TV, cable, or HBO, or even PBS. So we're doing that process as well with the Doctrine of Discovery film. And I do sell the films. I do have the films with the EDU package. You can take home next week if you would like to purchase that. The film is available, the next film. So it just takes, once you get the film done, the next big, huge deal is distribution. So you barely scraped up the money after these years to get the film done. Now I'm trying to scrape up the money for distribution costs and get it out there. It just takes time if you don't have, I didn't want to accept any grants because I get limited in with the content of what I do, especially on these topics. This topic, this history, and the Doctrine of Discovery's history, what organization is going to want to give me money and my production company money to do these stories? Oh, wait now. You know, we get money from the government, or we get money from the public, and I don't know. This is negative image on my company or my organization, right? Oh, but I will give you some money if we can have some influence in letting you know what we like and what you have to take out. I worked in the film industry for since 1971, and as a performing artist, and I understand the process of filmmaking as an artist in front of the camera and the reading the scripts telling the directors, this is negative for Indian people. Can you let's change the line or change one word? That was my job too as an actor. So I understand what big money can do in the industry. The controlling is powerful. These films are powerful. Dances with Wolves. I was in Dances with Wolves for 6 months working on the show. But many more before that. I worked behind the camera before I got in front of the camera, before I studied acting and stage. So I understand how the business works, where the money comes from. You know, the whole process. So I just said, no, I'll make my own business loans and pay them off little by little just to get these things done. So that's kind of the way I've been working. Yeah. So, it's getting later now, but I want to thank all of you and for the way I feel the energy in here when I come in the building, and the gentleness and that. And yesterday we had our ceremony honoring the water, our sacred water at Mini Osniwa Cold Water Springs, sacred water. And so, yes, it is a sacred. We had a blessing for the water yesterday, and we told the people, please stop. When you take a glass of water, take the time to look at the water, come from your heart, and say a good thing to that water. I love you. Thank you for your life that you're going to give me. And that water will listen to you. That's true if you come from a good place. And use that water and drink that water and thank the water. That's all it wants. That's the creator. That's the balance. That's life. That's spirit. It's an individual thing that we need to continue to do, to give back and respect the earth, respect the water, all life around us. The energy of life spirit, by understanding, feeling that, like we feel the energy in here, I felt it in here, it was good. That's life spirit. That's good. Mind and body and center, all the sacred things that we do. And I feel that in all of you. And I want to thank you for that very much. So with that, maybe we could end it.
We'll dedicate the merit. Can we applaud?
Thank you very much. Yeah. Now, thank you for the video tech. You're awesome. Did a great job.
Doctrine of Discovery, that will be a very important viewing as well. And I do want to dedicate the merit.